peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. Winds of change may blow your way. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm. His mercy's new for us today. There's peace in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the storm.
People are living in a world of darkness. This is an accurate description of the way many people feel today. They're living in spiritual darkness. They require spiritual illumination and a divine light, Jesus Christ, the originator of that spiritual light. Pastor Pancho will be talking about that today and teaching us how we come out from darkness into light. As we draw lessons today in the Gospel of John, we'll continue to look at chapter 1 and the first 11 verses on this edition of On the Level Radio, coming up next.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. There's peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
And now with today's program of On the Level, here is Pastor Pancho.
The Gospel of John, verses 1 through 11, we want to really emphasize. Now, we know we studied the introduction last week. I'm not going to go through the introduction right now. But it suffices to know that the Gospel of John is not like Matthew, Mark, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are called what? Synoptic Gospels, because they speak about the same thing. John does not. John immediately goes to the jugular of the problem. You see, the problem was that there were already cultic people. There were already heresies, bad teaching already. 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, there were already people that were creating heresy and bad theology. And so some of them were saying that God could not appear in the flesh. And so Paul the Apostle takes Jesus Christ and takes him way at the beginning, when the first words in the book of Genesis, God said, let there be light. And so John takes Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate. What's pre-incarnate? Before Jesus put on flesh. The pre-incarnate Jesus, John takes him way back to creation. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And that's his name. Jesus is the Word. The Word means logos. The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says that he was in the beginning with God, and that all things were made through Jesus, and without him nothing was made that was made. So not only is he taken back to all the way back to the beginning of time, but we are told that the pre-incarnate Jesus, it's creator of heaven and earth. That's not nothing else than God himself. John does not pull any punches. He says, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And so he takes him way in the beginning, and he says that everything was created by him. And now we're getting out to the nitty-gritty, because I want to speak to you about the life of Jesus. The life of Jesus and the light of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He spoke about giving us joy and peace and love. We call those the elements that make life worth living, because God has given us a plan in how to live. But the Bible says that that plan was broken, and that plan was marred because of sin. And therefore, sin entered the human race. And without God in our presence, the kind of life that we live in darkness. It doesn't mean darkness, the absence of light. It's a biblical darkness, void, the absence of God's presence. Anywhere that God is not in the presence, and then we live in darkness. Every time God is not ruled, and then darkness rules, because that is the natural order of man without God. Without God, because the Bible says God is light. In him, there's no what? There's no darkness. So therefore, the absence of God is basically darkness. And we're not talking about darkness, the absence of light. We're speaking about the absence of God in our presence. And so when we walk in darkness, when we do the deeds of darkness, when Jesus was arrested in the garden, he says, this is your hour, the hour of darkness. This is your hour, the hour of darkness. Darkness in the Bible, in a moment I'll share with you, has to do with fear, with ignorance, with evil, with wickedness, with crime, depravity, sin, loss, blindness, punishment, lying, cheating, death. That's what the Bible speaks about when it speaks about darkness. As opposed to light in the Bible, when light is spoken in the Bible, speaks about comfort, knowledge, goodness, godliness, virtue, honesty, kindness, salvation, found as opposed to being lost, having sight as opposed to being blind, as opposed in contrast to being blind, forgiveness and exposure compared or contrasted to punishment and truthfulness for lying and abundant life for mere physical death. And so this is what we want to speak about today. As Paul, if I say Paul, I mean John, okay? Don't come back and later on say, you said Paul. Because I'm going to ask you some question. What else did you learn tonight other than my mistake? Because I put people on the spot. People always get me on some little thing. You know, you said potato instead of potato. Okay, but what did I say? I don't know. I was asleep. Hey. So I'm going to test you. So if I say Paul, I mean John, okay? Because it's been a while since we talked to John. It's been a while. It's always been Paul. We know we're reading Paul. And so even Sunday mornings, we're talking about Paul. And so forgive me if I say Paul, I'm just brainwashing out with Paul. So I mean John, okay? Now, according to Paul, I'm just testing you. According to John in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of humanity, mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. We are told in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We'll skip that because in verse 19, we get reintroduced to John. John is not the same writer of the Gospel of John. This is John the Baptist. So we don't want to talk about verse 6 right now because we're going to deal with him in verse 19. And we'll speak about John. We'll find out what was his message. What was the sign that he was given by God to recognize the Messiah? Although Jesus is his cousin, relationship is his cousin. He says, I did not know him. He says that two times. I did not know him. Now, he lived in the desert. We're already talking about him. We'll skip him, okay? We'll next week, we'll speak about him in 2 weeks. So this man was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Now you notice the word light has a capital L, a principal L. It's not just light because we have physical light, which is the sun, and we have artificial light, which you are enjoying right now reading your Bible because of the artificial light. It's neither one of those. This is the light that emanates from the radiance of God. To him, there is no darkness. In the beginning, we are told in verse 1, in verse 2 of chapter of Genesis, that the world was void and it was dark. And then all of a sudden, the voice of God, let there be light. And you see the creation powers of God. Now, we are told here that in verse 8 specifically, he says that he, meaning John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, his own Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. Now listen carefully, verse 12 and 13. But as many as received Jesus, to them he gave them the right to become what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. Sometimes you hear this in a very mistaken way. All of us are children of God. No, we're not children of God. All of us are His creation, but we're not all children of God. You see, the Bible says specifically that you need to be adopted as a child of God. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And once you receive Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, that when we receive Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and we are born again. And automatically we begin to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. See, we have a choosing whether we want to accept Jesus Christ or not. Perhaps some of you are here. I can't force you to become a Christian. I cannot force you. No one can push you. No one can shove anything down your throat. You have a choice. And some of you are going to make a choice tonight, but you will make a choice. Well, Pancho, I don't want to make a choice. You will make a choice tonight. You're going to make a choice whether to follow Him or deny Him. You're going to have a choice whether to accept Him in your heart and believe that He is Lord and He's able to change your life, or you can walk away saying, you know what? I can do it on my own. It's my life and I live like I want to. It's my party. I cry if I want to. It is my life. And you can choose that. And you will always be making that decision. But you will always be groping in darkness, never coming to the light. It's not about intellectual receiving Jesus Christ intellectually or academically. I don't get it. I need to find out really intellectually, mentally. I really want to get into why it's what Christianity is all about. I'm not ready yet. It's not intellectual conviction. It has to do with people remaining in their sins. They refuse the light. Lest the light exposes them, they like what they do. Slipping into darkness. Before I came to Jesus, I knew there was a price to pay. I seen it in some of my friends. I seen it in my ex-girlfriend, which is not my wife, praise the Lord, of 30 years. I seen her. She changed. And I knew, and I was afraid of that change. And I knew that I prefer to get loaded every single day and party. So I want to do party. That's all I wanted to do. Till I realized I couldn't party anymore. The partying scene was dead to me. You see, people get upset when I guess they want people to feel sorry for them. Oh, don't leave. Don't go in the world. Oh, no, stay here. There's safety in the church. I tell people, listen, if you got to itch, scratch it. Go into the world. Don't be playing games. Don't be doing one of these numbers. I don't know which way to go. Oh, well, this way. Why? Why do you live so horribly in Christianity and yet you live so guilty in the world? There's a problem here. That's why Jesus said either you got to be hot or what? Cold. I'm right with God. And I tell people, listen, you want to party? You want to get high? Go on, man. Go to Lake Lake, man. There's a lot of stuff out there on Sundays. Go get high, man. Get high. What kind of a pastor are you? Where is your love? Well, I can't force you. You got to do what you got to do until you get beat up by the world, until your teeth fall out, until your eyelashes are burned, until you're all tatted out, all wasted out, and you come to church. Am I welcome here? Absolutely. Have a seat and let God comfort you. Let God put the balm of oil upon you for healing. Let your brain get healed again. Let your soul that was blemished and petrified through fear, let God's hope and love and comfort and hope now take a hold of you. But why do you want to go all the way around? People want to do that. And then they realize, man, I made a mistake. That's wonderful. But you see, as long as you come to church and say, man, the world calls me. I don't know why I'm here. The world here, the world that. Go on to the world. Go out. Go drink until you get so loaded, until you puke to your nostrils. You done that? Don't raise your hand. Well, you just realize, I can't do this anymore, man. And you're convinced. There's nothing in the world. There's nothing you haven't done that you've already done in the past. And why go back? That's it. Go all the way, man. Committed and faithful. Anyway, I don't know where I got deviated from. But he said he was not the light. Wow, how did I get there? That's all right. Verse 9. Oh, forgive me. As many as received him. There you go. I knew I was right. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Here we go. Who were born. Not of blood. What does that mean? Not of blood. They were not born through sexual intercourse. The baby is the result of sexual intercourse. And he says, you are born again. You become a child of God, but not through the physical means. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Where you make a decision, you said, I'm going to get my act together now. I'm going to do now this. It's not going to happen that way. And then he says, nor of the will of man. Meaning that I, for example, I represent the agency of man. I cannot force you. I cannot tell you a certain word. I can say, okay, how many want to be born again? Because I got the power. I got the agency of man. I have it, okay? Oh, you want to be born again, you know? No, abracadabra, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're done. See, I don't have that kind of power. It says we are born again of God. In a moment, when we close, we'll take you to John chapter 3, where God is speaking to Nicodemus, a religious man who should know better, and yet Jesus is having a wonderful, humorous time with him, but speaking about a serious subject about eternal life. Jesus told Nicodemus, he who must enter the kingdom of God must be born again. You need to be born again. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Nicodemus doesn't get it. You'll see that in a moment, because the Bible says that the spiritual man understands the things of God, but the physical man, meaning physical person, does not understand the things of God, nor can he appreciate them and comprehend them. This is why when someone told me, well, don't have you read your Bible? I said, man, I have a Bible. I don't understand it. What? How you do? You guys understand this? Do you really understand this book? Oh, yeah. I said, I'm trying to read it, man. And it's like, dude, I don't get it. It wasn't until I became born again, and you can understand that. And some of you are shaking your head like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, something happened to us when we said, Jesus, come into our lives. I believe you're the Son of the living God. I make room in my heart, and I open my heart. Come in now. And immediately, the Spirit of God came upon us. And one of the first things we cry out is, Abba, Father. And then we begin to have a fellowship with God, a personal fellowship, where we begin to read his Bible, and it makes sense to us. Amen? Makes a lot of sense. And then you go tell your friends, hey, dude, I'm reading the Bible. And they go, dude, wow, did you just go to Metropolitan Hospital? Where you're at, man? They don't understand. And there we realize we have entered a different world. The Bible says it clearly, much poetically, that God has translated from what? From darkness to light. Enlightenment. So we are saying that you can receive the Lord anytime. Now, the light of the world. Now, in your handout, I stole the comments from Moody Handbook of Theology. Light is a popular term with John. You see it in chapter 1. You see it in chapter 3. You see it in chapter 5, chapter 8, chapter 9, 11, and 12, and 1 John chapter 1. And the book of Revelation chapter 18. So it's a popular term with John, this thing, this light. In dealing with the incarnation, John refers to Jesus as the light that has come into the world darkened by sin. Jesus does not show the way to the light. He is the light. Jesus equates himself with God, the Father, in claiming to be the light, just as the Father is the light. In John chapter 8, 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's a very strong statement of deity, we are told, because Jesus has come into the world as the light. So it is imperative that men believe in him. Again, he said in John chapter 12, 35, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of the light. So he's speaking here metaphorically. I share with you that there's physical light. Physical light, that is the sun. But we also have now, synthetic lightning like we have right here. But metaphorically, God is speaking about the light that emanates from God himself. You see, we call that spiritual enlightenment. You ever heard that expression? Man, a light bulb went on his head. What does that mean? A light bulb went on his head. It means that you something enlightened you. And you see, man is incapable of receiving spiritual enlightenment because man does not have the capacity to accept it and to digest it intellectually. We're not capable of that. Why? Well, I shared with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are a spiritual discern. Paul says it straight. He says, a natural man, what is a natural man? A natural man is someone who is living in darkness without God, without the consciousness of God. And that's it. A natural man. The Bible says that the natural man, and your ladies are saying, "Ooh, I'm glad they're men." No, he's speaking about humanity. Natural woman, natural men. They don't have the capacity to understand enlightenment. You'll see that in a moment with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a religious man. He's a culture man. He's a Renaissance man. He's a man that has been educated in scriptures after scriptures. He's a Pharisee. He's a leader. And yet, the simplicity of the words of Jesus Christ, when Jesus said, "You need to be born again," he comes out saying, "How can a grown man like me go back into my mother's womb?" Now, the Bible doesn't say that Jesus is smiling, but I guarantee you that Jesus has a big smile, just shaking his head. He goes, "Wow, Nikki, you're tripping me out. You're a learned man, you're an educated man, you're a Renaissance man, you're a culture man, you're a pillar of the faith, and you can't understand what I'm talking about?" He says, this is terrestrial stuff. If you cannot handle terrestrial talk, how are you going to understand spiritual talk? See, man is incapable. So we need to be enlightened. Enlightenment. Now, there's a scripture here that I want to show. I took all these pictures. I didn't take these pictures. I stole all these pictures. They're so cool. Okay, here we go. I leave it there just to give you some wonderful quotations from Jesus. Now, God is always using the word light for the glory of God, God's dwelling place, the nature of God, the favor of God, the illuminator of his people, the illuminating power of the scripture. We are told, Lord, he says, your words are a lamp to my feet. What a wonderful poetical description of the scriptures leading you to life. We are told that life, or forgive me, light, is also used in connection with joy, with blessing and life, in contrast to sorrow, adversity, and death. God becomes the illuminator. He is the light of the world. Again, what is illumination? Light, information, teaching, knowledge, education, culture, edification, understanding, prudence, wisdom, the knowledge of God, and discernment. Pancho, where did you get all this? Proverbs chapter 1, 2, 3. That once God comes into our hearts, into the will of our lives, once God comes in, we are transformed. We are born again. We are no longer natural people anymore. We are no longer natural men. We have been born again spiritually. And having been born again, the Bible calls us now spiritual men. Because now we're able to distinguish. Now we're able to have the capacity of discernment. We now have the knowledge of God. We have the wisdom of God. It's not that we went to school, you see. It's that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of all truth, came into our hearts, began to convict us and govern our lives. And now we march to the beat of a different drummer. We have a living hope. We have a new direction. Our sins have been forgiven. We have a new slate in life where all these sins condemn us. We are now walking newness of life. Nothing to condemn you. You have a new life in Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is the beauty what the world doesn't understand. Jesus has come, and we are told he has come to enlighten the people of the world.
The Gospel of John forces us into a choice, belief or unbelief. Pastor Pancho challenges us, not how long have you been going to church or the status of your parents or how good you are, but rather, have you truly believed in Jesus as the Savior and Lord of your life? Pastor Pancho has been teaching us on today's program of On the Level as we continue our series of studies in the Gospel of John, and obviously there's still much more to learn in this gospel, which we'll do on our next program of On the Level. Well, for the latest news and information, to know anything and everything about our ministry here at the Ark Montebello, as well as being able to review this study again, simply go to our official website. That's where you will find everything you need to know about us, all the social media links, as well as being able to hear this study again. Simply go to our website at thearkmontebello.com. That's thearkmontebello.com. At thearkmontebello.com. And then please make it a point to join us for our next program of On the Level with Pastor Poncho Wells.
There's peace in the middle of the storm. Peace in the middle of the storm.
It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright.
On the Level Radio is brought to you by the Ark Montebello in California.